My name is Sherry Tierney. I have the very great privilege of being able to play the piano, being one of the pianists for the church here at Lancaster Baptist. Since a year after, about a year after Pastor and a year and a half after Pastor and Mrs. Chapel came and started playing when the church wasn't as many people as there are in this room at this moment. And so lots of things have grown and changed, and I'm very blessed to be a part of the church ministry as well as the college ministry. I get to teach in the college. So I apologize, I sound like a college teacher. My daughter says whenever I practice, she's like, "You're putting on your teacher voice." What is that? I don't have a teacher. I don't know, but anyway. So thank you for coming. I'm really overwhelmed at this. I was expecting like six people. That's what I was. So anyway, I'm going to try to help. I didn't choose this assignment. I was given this assignment. Please don't look at me as if I'm the expert on all of this, okay, on time management. I am not an expert, but I have been very blessed to be set under pastors teaching and preaching. And over the years, through our different staff training, he has taught and he's had people come in and teach on some time management principles, managing your life. And there are a ton of different type of ladies in this room. None of us have the same roles, responsibilities. None of us are in the same position in life. And so I can't tell you what you need, but I can hopefully equip you with some things that will help you to maybe manage your time better. And if it's only just maybe one idea that you get out, then I'd consider that worth it. Now what you have my little notes, okay? And we'll go through those. But you also, now I was told that they ran out of some of them, and I think they're racing to make some copies. Just some other little helps that I found in digging around, ways to get more out of your day. So please, I would suggest that read that later, but don't read it while I'm teaching. But just, they're just little, it's just a shotgun approach of ideas that might help you. And so if you didn't get one of those, Ayla, can we say that maybe these will be in one of the information centers to pick up if they didn't get their copy of that. So, but I'm not going to teach through that. Okay. So, most importantly, and I'm not good with walking around with a microphone on because I don't even like my voice. So that's just one of those things. Okay. We should start with a word of prayer. How about that? Okay. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for this ladies' conference. I thank you so much for all of the work, the planning, the preparation that's gone into the theming of it and the topics. And now I just ask that you would help everyone to be comfortable in this room. I know we're really crowded and a lot of people are sitting on the floor and different things are standing up. And I just ask that you would help them to be comfortable, help their feet not to hurt or anything else that they're sitting on. And I just ask that you would bless this time and help us to learn something today that can help us to be better wives, mothers, women, Christians for you, and we ask it in your name. Amen. All right. First off, the irony of this is overwhelming, okay? I was given this title, long story short, and I was asked if I would teach on it, and I said yes, thank you for the opportunity. But the irony is my husband uses the phrase long story short. He's a great storyteller, and he always has... He has about 1,000 people that work for him, and so there are always personnel issues. And from the time my kids were little, he would always come home and be telling some story, some personnel story. And it's funny how grown people still act like kindergartners, even in the workforce, even in engineering and all of these different things. And so he would tell stories. And his standard thing is, well, long story short, it was blah, 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 blah. Well, long story short, it was blah, 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 blah. And I'll never forget, I think it was our daughter who was little at the time, but the kids loved to listen to these stories about these people. And one time she just turned around and looked at me as he says, and long story short, she says, "Why does he say that? It's never short." So when I was given this, I was like, "Oh, Lord, you have a sense of humor." And I do. I do believe God has a sense of humor. I have a sense of humor, sometimes a little odd, but I do have a sense of humor. And so I'm going to take a little different tack than perhaps some of these ladies, some other ladies who teach. That's just because the way I am, okay? How many of you like, what kind of stories do you like? Do you like romance? Do you like adventure? Do you like suspense? I'm an adventure story person. I'm an engineer by training years ago, and I love science. I love science fiction and all of that. Hence, we're taking just a tad different path, if you will, based on my personality, if you will. Long story short, though, is this familiar? Do you ever walk up to somebody and they say, I'm just so busy? How many people do you run across that says, oh, I'm not busy at all. I have time on my hands. If you ever run across them, please send them to me. I've got plenty that they can do. We all are busy, all right? We're all looking for ways to be more effective. And here's a couple of things that I want to point out here right away. Go to the Bible first. I want to point out a couple of things. God wants us to live in peace. Peace, not chaos. And he loves us greatly. Our two scripture verses here, Ecclesiastes 8:5. Let me read the whole thing here. Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil, and a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. I thought that was very interesting. Time and judgment. God wants us to discern both of those. How much time to spend and on what? And the second verse from Ecclesiastes, you've heard it, 3:1, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. I believe those are in your notes. Uh-huh. Yep, okay, good. Well, you got to lay the foundation on God's Word. I mean, wherever you go from there. So that's why I always want to start with that. but the key for us is discerning the purposes that we have under heaven and the time that we have for them. And so, ladies, what I want to tell you today is there is a secret. There is a secret to time management. And I want you to know that I'm going to teach it to you today. Okay? Okay. My keynote just died on me. Okay. It's probably because it can't handle the sound. Let's see about that. The secret, though... Yeah, okay, hold on. I lost everything. Oh, technology, it's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Okay, let's go for this. Okay, should get back here. Yeah, okay. Now, back here, you see my sign. Okay, now that you've seen it, here's the way it's supposed to go. The secret is Jedi time tricks. Been waiting to do this all day long. This has been so exciting. Jedi time tricks. I love this. Okay. And here's our lady. Do you know how long I looked for a female Jedi? Jedi time tricks. Yeah, that was fun looking through there. And I love the theme music anyway. All right. Jedi time tricks. So we're going to take our little illustration this way. All right. Enough with the sound here. All right, we've got a little illustration here. So our heroine, don't know if you can see her, it's Barbie in a Jedi outfit, okay. Our heroine, her parents were very skilled in the ways of force, but they weren't really good at choosing names, so we're gonna call her Matilda, okay. Our heroine hurries to save her prince. And I named him Boris. My daughter said, okay, that was a nice looking prince. Can I have one of those? Yes, okay. Our heroine hurries to save our prince, okay? We're turning this around, you know, usually it's the hero saving the heroine, but we're ladies here, we're gonna turn it around. Our heroine is trying to save her prince. He is her most important thing, her most important thing. Unfortunately, working to delay and distract and destroy her are the stormtroopers. The stormtroopers, look at them all. They just keep coming, okay? They are the urgent distractions. I've got those in your notes. The urgent distractions that continually assault her on her mission to save her most important thing. Well, we all know how our heroes and heroines resolve this dilemma. If Matilda takes her eye off of the goal of saving Boris, then all of her efforts are in vain. She can engage the stormtroopers, cutting them down with graceful ease. But they keep coming. They keep coming. All right? They continually delay and distract her from her mission, her most important thing. And if she delays too long, her prince, who is her most important thing, might die. All right? That's how heroes and heroines work. They keep their eye on the goal. So, her most important thing, Boris, or things, we'll say for this illustration, are constantly being challenged by the things that are most urgent. Those stormtroopers. Most important, most urgent. By the way, ladies, they are not the same thing, okay? How does our heroine save her prince? Well, she uses her knowledge of Jedi time tricks if she's going to save her prince and save her most important thing. All right? So, that's our little illustration here, and hopefully you can kind of see where we're going with this idea. How are we going to kill those stormtroopers, those urgent things? Urgent. I didn't say important, those urgent things. How are we going to kill those stormtroopers? Our trick number one is to see beyond the urgent to the important. To see beyond the urgent to the important. And what we have to do, and ladies, it's hard, is to systematically focus on what's important in my life, in my day, in my hour, in the next 15 minutes, not necessarily what is urgent, okay? That's sometimes hard to do. Now, I don't know, do y'all have the little grid? Okay, good. All right. This is a cool little grid, and this actually works pretty well for a point or two. We've got two things here. Is the task, whatever it is it important or isn't it important? And is it urgent or not urgent? And this is classic time management training that shows up in a lot of different books, and it's very useful. It's very helpful. We've got to have a couple of tricks up our sleeve before we can practice our regimens, if you will. If it's urgent and important, do it now. That's the idea. If it's important but not so urgent, then plan to do it soon. Now, if it's not important but it seems urgent, okay. Oh, I got a Facebook notification. Oh, yeah, somebody liked my photo. It's urgent but it's not important. Do I really need to do this? Or if it's not important and it's not urgent, well, just don't do it, okay? But how many times, I'll ask you this question, how many times do we not stay in these two quadrants and we end up doing a lot of stuff down here in these? Oh, yeah. I've actually seen teachers, I do not do this because I know I would, who bring their phone to class with them and silence it and put it on the thing. But they're teaching, and then a notification comes up, and they may not do anything. They may continue teaching, but it is constantly distracting them. Okay, and I'm saying teachers because I am one. I know it would distract me, so I don't do that. Okay, just because I'm not that good at it. Okay, here's our trick here. Anything less, and I don't think you have this, but it's a good thing to write down. Anything less than a conscious commitment to what's important in your life is really an unconscious commitment to what's unimportant. Oh, yes, I told you I'm not an expert on all of these things, but I have learned some things and I've tried to employ them in my life. But you know, ladies, we're all pre-wired to focus on things that are immediate. The phone's ringing, got to answer it, okay? Alerts on our phone. And we're also tempted just to postpone those things that are most important. Like, I would tell you that exercising is very important in my life, but I would also tell you that I haven't made time for it this week. Okay? It was important, but it wasn't standing out as urgent, so I didn't do it. I made a bad choice, if you will, based on my priorities, okay? So anyway, moving on then, our second trick, I'm going to keep that little chart up there, is to withdraw from your urgency addiction. We are all addicted. Feeling as though you must address every urgent, not necessarily important, thing that comes your way is like an addiction. It provides an artificial sense of self-worth, power, and accomplishment. I got a lot of things done today. But they weren't important things. They weren't the things that I needed to get done, perhaps. Doing things faster is no substitute for doing the right things. And the degree to which urgency is dominant in your life is probably the degree to which importance is not. So here's a few suggestions. Kill the notifications. Kill the notifications. You don't need Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, Shopular, Cartwheel, Pinterest, you name it, to notify you every time there's a new sale in town, or that you need to like it because it got posted, or you got 13 new likes on your picture or whatever, okay? Yeah, we all like those kind of things, but you don't have to, it doesn't need to be drawing at you all the time. Turn off the notifications and then choose when you're going to look at those things and do it on purpose, okay? That'll save you, and you think, well, it just takes a second, really? I've said that to myself and found, oh my goodness, I just spent 15 minutes. 15 minutes of my time that I just wasted scrolling through. Ah, okay, all right. So choose when you're going to do that. Choose when you're going to do that. Kill the notifications. Number two, unplug the TV. Some of you don't have TVs, and that's a choice that you've made. We have a TV, but we don't play it constantly. And that was one of the things that early on in our marriage, my husband did. He'd come home and punch on the TV or punch on the radio or something. And it would drive me crazy because I'm like a I'm like a bug to the bug light. You know, I go right for it. No matter, I don't want to watch this, but it's like drawing me in. So I just told him, honey, I can't do that. Now let's watch it on purpose when we want to watch it. Well, that was the days before we could record. Now we've got DVR and you can record it. So take some time on purpose. What shows do you like to watch? We have shows that we like to watch that are on when the fall season starts, whenever that is. And we just have it set up to record those. So then we go through when we want to on purpose and fast forward through the commercials, which is a blessing. And you know, and we watch stuff on purpose that way. But it takes a little bit of forethought. What's important to me? The debates were on Wednesday night. I wanted to watch that. Because of our service schedule, I could have, all right? But I didn't have the time. I was doing other things. I recorded it. And then I sat down later, and I've only watched the first half of it. You know, the world didn't stop spinning because I didn't get to see it all. But I do want to see it, but I can fast forward through it now, and I can on purpose do things like that. So turn off the TV, unplug from the TV. The last one I have is ignore. Christians can't just ignore things. Yes, we can. Sometimes it's utterly necessary to ignore. You may get requests that you will allow yourself to forget. I can't do that as a Christian. You may need to. What's important, okay? Or you may be slow to clean up the kitchen counter, empty the trash can. The world will not fall apart. All right? And that's differently pre-wired. We'll get to it. We're pre-wired not to do that, okay? We don't think we can do that. But there are reasons to do that. And it goes into my trick number three. Choose to say no. Well, Christians can't say no. Oh, yes. Most of us follow that it's kind of an implicit social contract. When someone asks you to do something, you almost always say yes. It feels very noble, but don't forget, you've got a prince that's dying and needs saving, whatever that most important thing is, and you just agreed to slow yourself down because you were asked nicely. No. You may need to sacrifice a little comfort in a social setting to save your prince's life and say, I would love to be able to help you in whatever you're asking me. I just can't right now. That's sometimes very hard to do. But you know, there's something else. We tend to respect those people who very judiciously say no for the right reasons. Now, I'm not saying, okay, I can never help in anything. No, that's not what I'm saying. But make your choices wisely. Don't just, I'll be the martyr. Everyone asks me to do stuff, so I always do stuff. But my husband and family back home are upset with me because I never do stuff for them because everybody else asks me so nicely. Be careful there. Choose to say no. And my words here, it's easy to say no when there's a deeper yes burning inside of you, okay? And that yes is to your most important things, whatever they are. I see college girls in here. What are your most important things? I think of schoolwork. Okay. A good example, I've seen it over the years. I've seen very good, well-meaning college students that they need a job, and so they have to work to pay for school. And so then they but what's most important? Why they're in here, at school or wherever they're at. They're at school. And they end up working more and staying up later and getting behind in classes so they can fail the classes that they're working so hard to pay for. Ouch. Okay? You gotta keep that in mind. What are your most important things? So, all right, so some ideas, some little tricks in our Jedi time tricks we'll start with. They're not really tricks, but I had to come up with some names. So, ideas. But now that's killing the stormtroopers, those urgent distractions. The next thing, we need to stay focused on our prince. We need to stay focused on our prince. So, every good Jedi has got some regimens that they're going to exercise throughout their life. The first one I would tell you, define your God-given mission in life. Where you are right now. I didn't say all the roles, I said your mission. Your mission in life, okay? What's your purpose? I've got two little things here. What's your purpose? And what does God want you to be? And what does He want you to do? All right? This takes a little time. You can't answer it here in just 15, 20 seconds. Oh, let me write something down here. Now think about it for a minute. One of the main purposes in my life is to glorify God in whatever I do. Okay, wherever, okay, and that's okay. I think you could probably apply that to most all of you. You want to glorify God in your life, where you are right now. Is your mission to complete your husband while you're honoring and glorifying God? Is your mission to support and raise your children as a single mom while you're honoring and glorifying God? Is it your purpose to work as a single woman, maybe in a ministry or in a secular job? There's just some ideas to get you thinking about what is your overarching mission and purpose in life. Think about it. This takes a little bit of time. We can't solve all of our time management problems in 30 minutes or 45 minutes, and I've got 15 to go, and I think I can do this. Be really sad if on time management we were really late, wouldn't it? Okay, keep going here. Okay, so take a little bit of time, get some quiet time for a minute. Next thing is number two, our regimen. Identify your God-given roles and answer some questions. Now I need to look and see what she put. Okay, yeah, there's some questions here, all right? Your questions. Let me ask some questions. Do I often find because they're not on my slide. Do I often find I'm consumed by one or two roles in my life? Well, what are my roles? Are you a wife? Are you a mother? Do you work in? Well, we all work inside the home. That's a given. Okay, but do you work outside the home as well? Okay, what's your ministry description? Take some time and sit down and all of the different roles that you have in your life. And ladies, it's all going to change. Your college students, your roles in your life are going to be different than when you're out of college and when you're married and then when you're a mom. And where I'm at, where I'm almost like not quite an empty nester, but during the school year I am because my daughter's out of town. So I'm kind of, this is a new role for me in my life, okay? What are those roles? And when we see our roles as segmented compartments of life, we get this competitive scarcity mentality that causes us to feel like one role is winning while others are losing. But in actuality, God's in control, and if He gave you those roles, our roles should work together to create a synergy that brings a more productive life all around. Okay? So we have some roles. So our first question, do I often find I'm consumed by only one or two of those roles and that the others don't receive the time and attention I'd like to give them? I'd like to ask you the question. Let's say you're a wife and a mom. Okay? And you do really good in your life at being a mom. You're a good mom at the expense of being a lousy wife. Well, okay, that's a horrible example, but it could happen, and I see it happen, where when the kids are gone in the empty nester phase, the husband and wife look at each other and go, we don't even like each other anymore because they didn't work on that in their roles. All right. So do you find that one or two of those roles that you have are get all of your attention? And if they do, you might want to think about the other roles that you say that you have. And if they're important, then they need to get some attention. Number two, how many of the things I find myself doing regularly don't contribute to any of my God-given roles? Yes, we all do that a little bit, okay? Number three, do the roles I've defined work together to contribute to the fulfillment of my mission? Okay, and that was our first item here. And then number four, what difference would it make in the quality of my life to consider these roles on a weekly basis? What if I actually sat down and thought about all the different things, roles in my life, I thought about them, and ensure that the activities that I'm doing are supporting those roles. Wow, might be good. So here's a few other things we need to recognize here. Success in one role can't justify failure in another if they're all your roles. Success in one role can't justify failure in another. Okay, next on, and I believe you've got these, God never intended us to dwell in frustration. I'm dwelling in frustration. No, wait a minute, it's Beulah Land, isn't it? Right, yeah, okay, it's Beulah Land. Yeah, we don't want to dwell in frustration. God never intended that for us. And we will give an account to God. Ooh, we will give an account to God for what we've done with the life He's given us. And if nothing else, that should raise up our awareness a little bit, okay? So, identify those roles and then think about, take some time and ask yourself, how could I do some things this coming week that would help me in those areas? I told you I can't answer all your questions for you, but I can maybe give you some tools. Number three on our regimens of things to do, identify the most important things then that you can do in each role this week. In each role this week. And I would ask, what would happen if I actually did them? Oh, what would happen if I did them? Would it make a positive difference and influence in my life? Okay. Would my life be more effective than it is now? And I think you've got one more question. And would God be pleased with the direction of my life? Okay. So some things to think about in scheduling or identifying things you can do. So the next thing then is schedule those priorities. Schedule those things that you can do, those priorities. Now, I highly suggest that you find a time to do this. It doesn't have to be a two-hour marathon, all right? Maybe a Sunday evening before the work week starts. Look at the calendar. Take a minute. What's coming up in the next week? This is something we regularly do at our house. But we're at the point now where we don't necessarily schedule a certain time, but it's usually about a Sunday night where I sit down and I look, what's coming up in the coming week and what do I need to make sure? Another author in time management talks about getting your big rocks in the jar first, okay? Scheduling your priorities there. what else do I have to say? The time, it doesn't matter when you do it. It's got to fit your schedule and everything. But the thing is, do it. Take a little bit of time. That's what's critical, the fact that you do it. Be disciplined. Have you ever thought of the word responsible? Response, able. Able to respond. Ah, we are response able for the choices that we make about what's important in our lives. Ooh, let's keep going, okay? My key here, I would tell you, be realistic, all right? And once you get it kind of in the habit of doing some of these things, if you haven't done it, you'll find at first the world is your oyster and you're going to do all these wonderful things in the next week. And that may not be realistic, all right? It takes a little time to be realistic about what you can do, but do that and be disciplined about it. Remember, your prince needs saving. Your most important things need to be saved, all right? We must keep going. Regimen number five here. This is a good one, and I like this phrase. Exercise integrity in the moment. All right. That means carrying out the plan that you've put together here, and also being flexible enough to realize that God has some God-given appointments that may change your whole plan. Are they God-given appointments, or are they just those urgent distractions? You have to exercise integrity in the moment. Before you jump into something, think, is this important at this moment? Okay? Does it fall into that first quadrant of do it now? or could it be, is it important but not urgent and it can be done later? Now, that doesn't mean that you procrastinate, okay? You're planning, though. You're making some plans about that. Again, be strong. I will say that. Be strong. Sometimes it's hard to say no, but it may be the most necessary thing that you do. And it also may be the time to say yes, all right? But be strong. Exercise integrity in the moment in those decisions. Number six, evaluate regularly. Okay, and I'll put under here, adjust accordingly. Evaluate regularly. Some weeks you're going to be more successful than others. The key isn't that you're starting to live your life on purpose. And you're starting to live it by importance. You know, think about the person who walks on the balance beam, or the guy that is the tightrope walker thing, walked across Chicago or something on the tightrope. The key with balance isn't either or, it's and. And especially in our life and time management, it's and, balancing the different roles that you have. So it takes some time. And we're, none of us are perfect at it. There's some weeks, I already admitted to you that one of the important things in my life is exercise, and I haven't done it this week, okay? None of us are perfect at it, but the key, if you're at least trying. So many times I see people that live their life just as it comes, without any, you know, yes, they've got roles and responsibilities, but it certainly doesn't seem like they're trying to live their life on purpose. And so work, adjust accordingly. And I think I've got the words down there. Balance in life isn't either or, it's and. And so, young Padawans, that's the Star Wars term for young Jedi, okay? We've come to our last regimen as you're going through here, all right? You get to reap some rewards of a life lived on purpose, okay? The short-term blessing. Short term, knowing that what I've done today has been the right things, and they matter. What I did today, the choices I made, and the things that I did mattered today. Okay, those are short term blessings. How about the long term blessing of a balanced life? A balanced life. You ever think personal sanity and long term viability in our family lives? Why do so many marriages fail? Well, there are many reasons. Sometimes it's because it wasn't important to that couple. It wasn't important enough to make some decisions there. And I think I've got the words, I believe they put it on your notes. Chaos, disorder, confusion, and a lack of discipline hounds me, convicts me, and pesters me constantly. It's like the little cloud above the little cartoon character, you know, that follows him everywhere he goes, because it's always that chaos and disorder when they could take a little time and live life on purpose. So there's the longer term blessing, and then there's the eternal reward. Wouldn't you like to hear God say, well done? Oh, I would. All right. I know I'm not perfect. None of us are perfect. We're all working to try to do the best that we can. But some ideas here to help us. Now, one final lesson from the Jedi. Why do we love, think about why you love your heroes and heroines. Why do you love them? What do you love about them? Well, think about it. They inspire us. They make tough decisions. They keep going. And they get done what matters most. Okay, they save the prince or the princess, if it's a whatever. Okay. And here I found this one. I thought this was cute. For those of you, there are smaller Jedi coming behind you, okay? And deep inside, we know that we have the power to become a Jedi Master ourselves. And so, some ideas for you. As I said, none of us are perfect, and I would not consider myself an expert. I'm thankful that I've learned under our pastor's leadership some things about time management. And if none of you have a young Jedi like that, perhaps someone else might follow you. Have a great ladies' retreat. And we're about 2 or 3 minutes early.